Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
As you may know, today we launched our News Talk Red Sea Women in Ireland survey. In advance of that, we asked if any women were interested in taking part in a panel to discuss some of those survey results and anything else they wanted to talk about. The response we had was unprecedented, and thank you to all the women who applied to take part. So we whittled that down to five women. They are Molly, who's 19, Sinead, who's 29, Aoife, who's 32, Ruth, who's 48, and Rose, who's 72. They gathered together in Brooks Hotel here in Dublin. And in this piece, the only voices you're going to hear are their voices. We've edited the conversation into a number of sections. So this first bit is about equality and roles in the home.
I'm Sinead, I'm 29.
I'm Molly, I'm 19.
I'm Ruth, I'm 48.
I'm Aoife, I'm 32.
Hello, I'm Rose, I'm 72.
41% of people believe men and women are treated equally in Irish society today. How do you feel about how women are treated in Irish society? Any takers?
That's a loaded question.
Will I just start off to give, because
sure.
I'm a bit of a mouth anyway. Yes, I'm a lot better than they were when I was a young woman.
How do you mean, what would have changed?
Do you think? A lot. Attitudes haven't completely changed. And I must say the worst sinners are men of my own generation still. But then it's hard to change a leopard's spot, and that isn't condoning them at all, at all. That said, I think it's hard for young men today, and I've thought this for a long time. Their role and their place is so confusing nowadays, and I think a lot of men try to assert themselves by being the man and clinging on to something. But I don't think there's equal pay for equal work. I think a lot of women aren't seen.
Is that because they don't put themselves?
Yeah, I think a lot of women think that it's they've proven that mixed schools don't work. Aoife, I'm sure you've read about all of this, because young women, especially going into university, they sort of unconsciously hold themselves back so that the boys won't be shamed, the young men won't be, and all that. It's also, I think, we exaggerate the great social differences because so much of it is biological.
Mm-hmm.
And women are just programmed to be producing children and nurturing them and saving them and keeping the species going.
Well, that's what I often wonder is, you know, we talk a lot about women not making it to the top. And there's part of me that wonders, men maybe are naturally more ambitious. And if women aren't to the top, we look at social boundaries. Why are women not getting to the top? And why are we not allowing women get to the top? But I think actually it reflects that women have great freedom to choose to pursue ambition or not. Whereas men often have no choice but to, continue to progress. And, you know, there are boundaries, I have no doubt, but I think an amount of it is certainly biological. Yeah. As you said, there are differences, and I'm grateful personally that I can choose to be ambitious or not be ambitious.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that taken into account, we still have a lot of work to do, because women who are ambitious and who do want to get there are very often stymied, especially in things like politics and finance.
Absolutely. I always think it's very interesting the way you hear people speak about women who might be more forthcoming with their opinion. We'll say, if you ever hear them described by men, you hear these phrases like, she's a force of nature, or, you know, she's very, it's ambitious, but it's in a bad way. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's almost like it's a negative trait in a woman to be ambitious. That's what I have found.
And she's strident if she makes her
these kind of
heard.
Phrases. You never hear a man described by those
never.
Words.
I just have to say about the mixed school thing, I thought it was the case that they thought that girls from single-sex schools did better when they were in all-girls school, but then when they went to college, they found that much more difficult, because that's something I found coming from a mixed school, and then I haven't seen it as much in university, but when I went to the Gaeltacht or such, it was largely with a crowd of people from all boys schools or all girls schools, and the girls from the all girls schools were just completely quiet the whole time in the classes, whereas I was like one of the few girls who like would get up and say something, because I was like, I've grown up with being in a mixed school system, and I found that it's common with a lot of girls I know, because I know, have lots of friends in all girls school, and those of them are like, oh yeah, I wouldn't know what to say to a boy even casually. They all think it's mad. Like, they all say, yeah, I'm scared of my little brother's friends. I don't know how to talk to them. Boys are so weird.
But so maybe while it suppresses women academically, socially, it actually does the opposite.
From my perspective, there's a real legacy there. Like, I was born and grew up in a time when women were just allowed to come back into the workplace after
Well, they weren't actually. There was a time when women, once they had babies, couldn't work anymore. They had to leave their job, and that took a huge section of women out of society. And, you know, it was only back in the late 70s, kind of early 80s, that they could go back to work. So we didn't have a huge amount of the clever, intelligent women who'd been working left in society. They had all disappeared for years. And then we've had other horrible things in our history that have taken women out of the equation, the mother and baby home. So we've a bit of catching up to do, I think. And that doesn't mean that we don't have the people to do it. I think it's just we're behind in terms of numbers and our history, I suppose. But I went to an all-girls school actually as well, and to us it was a convent school as well, so boys were like this thing to be
aliens.
Oh my god, it was
they still kind of
to
are
keep
aliens.
Your distance.
Yeah. No, but we were, you know, it was very much, you know, we were protected, and you know, it was ridiculous really. And so then when we did have very, very rare occasions where we got together, it was like we were let out, you know. We didn't know how to behave or react. And I didn't have any brothers, so I had no benchmark either, you know. So
do you think that maybe the academic benefits outweighed the social kind of drawbacks, or what way would
I don't know. Well, certainly, and you know, I don't want to bash them, but the nuns back in the day were tough cookies, and it was very much, you know, get on with your books and forget about everything else.
Yeah,
you know. So but I suppose people did have brothers, and you know, other people did know how to behave around boys and how to socialise. I didn't.
Ruth, I had no sister. I had no brothers either. I have all sisters. So yeah. Maybe it's a commonality. If you don't have, I had no close male relatives
or friends
on the street, or and then no boys in school. So that might be maybe an influencing factor. If you have brothers and brothers' friends around, it mightn't be quite the same. I think that, Ruth, what you were saying about the how far we've come, I feel at the level of my peers, just in terms of age and as a timeline, I don't feel that a man of my age with equal skills has any advantage over me, bar maybe being out of the workforce, having babies. But if I was ambitious and said I'm going to pursue a job against a man who had equal experience and all of that kind of thing, I don't feel like there's a good reason why I wouldn't, you know, be considered as an equal. I suppose in some circumstances there are organizations who still have a male bias, or maybe an unconscious bias towards men. And I think that by the time my generation is at the point of becoming the senior management, I don't think the bias will be as substantial, you know. And I think it is changing rapidly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it is changing, definitely. 90% of people believe that there is societal pressure on men for home improvement and fixing things within the home. 74% of people believe there's a societal pressure on women to take care of household duties and chores, including management of household finances.
This reminds me of a girl I know who was at her boyfriend's house one day, and she was the boyfriend's. They might be going out for a couple of months or something, but the boyfriend's mother just asked her for help doing some of the laundry or something, and said to her, "This is good practice for you when you and him get married."
That's an old chestnut, Molly. It's been around a long time.
Yeah, I got the impression.
I think it's a really contentious issue, but I can only speak from personal experience. And in my house, my husband is the breadwinner and he spends his most hours in work. I choose to work less and spend time at home with my children, which means naturally I do more of the household chores. Now, he still contributes when he's there, and when he's there, it's 50-50, or, you know, hopefully close enough to 50-50, he contributes. Equally, we have a small farm. If there's fencing to be done, I am not going out with the fencing iron to drive the posts. So I might be minding the children. And again, this back to the biology thing, there is an amount of it, you know, especially with our what we have outside the house, there is an amount of it that requires physical strength and toughness. And being pregnant and having small babies around, I end up taking up the majority of the domestic duties. But I don't think that's something that can necessarily be avoided.
We're not saying it should be. I don't think the thing is it should be avoided, but because, you know, there is kind of that whole, you know, oh, men were the hunters, women were the gatherers with the children kind of mentality. But at the same time, I feel like there's kind of a again, in that instance, like a society, there is a kind of insidious culture built around it, and how we're kind of pushed into these things that kind of are just, sometimes I think biology is used to justify a lot of this. For me, I can't even tell you the amount of times when I've been talking in class or someone and some boys made some just get back to the kitchen joke or something like that. Go make a sandwich kind of thing.
But they still do that.
They still do that, and they think they're so funny for doing that, and it's the joke of the century. Women are kind of, I feel like with a lot of girls I know, they like any young woman who says that maybe they don't want to have kids, they often get the, oh, just wait till you're older. Like, kind of, it's kind of an inevitable thing that's going to happen. And I think, and there's also issues with, you know, contraception and all that stuff that was bouncing around during the Eighth Amendment about how women aren't given a lot of choices in that regard, the same way men are. You know, men, you know, they can kind of, there's a bit more freedom for them to kind of duck out. But with a woman, it's harder to avoid. So if a crisis pregnancy happened, then that's kind of a thing where it's then harder to go back to work. And that's used to justify the pay gap sometimes, that women are more likely to take time off to mind children. So, and even the fact that we don't have equal maternity and paternity leave, or even a closely balanced.
My dad did an awful lot when we were growing up. He did a lot of cooking, which was quite unusual, I suppose. And I have a son now as well who would do anything you ask him to do, and the same with my daughters. And I suppose, again, it's what I saw at home when I saw, and I now at home with my husband, we've done a complete 360. Like, I don't do any grocery shopping anymore, and then I just don't, it's just the way work is organized, and it's a kind of a fluid situation. You know, if somebody needs to get milk, then somebody needs to get milk, you know, and if, you know, the dogs need to be fed, it's whoever's home first. And I mean, I've had to change a tire because I had to, you know, and I learned how to wire a plug because I had to, you know, or I had to wait for him to come home. And I suppose he worked outside of Ireland for a few years as well, so I was at home with three small kids, so I kind of had to, well, I didn't have to, but I just decided I'm just going to learn how to do these things myself. And then I kind of just, I suppose, went with that, not for any reason except I was either do it myself or I had to find somebody else, not necessarily a man, but somebody else to do it for me. So
yeah. I sort of think that in this, as in many other things in society, we, the people, God, isn't that a grand sort of statement, are far ahead of the politicians and leaders and people in authority. I honestly think that politics in Ireland doesn't realise how far young people and women and people in general have come along in their liberal and open and outward-looking thinking. And I do think that younger men, not my generation, but younger men are great. They do so much. They really don't see why it shouldn't be shared and why it shouldn't be equal. And the only thing I would counsel against from this great platform is acquired incompetence. I mean, if you let a man think that he can't wash the dishes because he's going to break one, Jesus, don't ever go there. You'll be washing the dishes.
The Irish mammy has kind of a lot, though, as well, to answer.
Well, as an Irish mammy, let me defend the Irish mammy here. Let's not get into that.
But there, you know, there is.
There is, but some Irish mammies kind of.
You know, they've created a monster.
So in my household, I got married this year. Myself and my husband both work. We earn the same. We're out of the house for about the same time. So it is quite shared in what we do. Whoever's home first will cook, and there is a little bit of, you know, I suppose he would be more comfortable with some jobs than I would be, so it's a trade-off. So he'll take the bins out. I know this is probably a little bit stereotypical, but I'm not complaining. So he will do the bin stuff, clean up after the dog, and I will take the laundry then, because I don't mean to go back to that, but I'm just better at it than he is. My own mother will give out to me sometimes and say, I'll be like, oh, we're just back from the shops. You didn't make him go shopping with you, did you? You know? But that was her generation. When we were growing up, I have to say, my brothers weren't expected to ever do the dishes, but me and my sister were, and it used to grate on me. But I think that I'm... Yeah, so I think I've made a conscious effort to be like, it's not going to be like that in my house.
They might have broken something.
Yes. Damaged themselves.
They can buy another one then.
I would feel almost more sorry for men that want to be at home and pursue domestic roles, because I think they have a bigger challenge in asserting that right for if that's what they choose. I think it's quite hard on men, and I think they probably would be looked down upon by their peers more than we would if we decide to be at home. I think most of our peers would support us or, you know, champion it in some way or another. But, you know, I think for men it's a harder thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, did he make it? He wasn't good enough to make
it. Does he not have the ambition?
They're like lowering themselves to a woman's standards.
No, I think the feminist movement, of which I myself was and am a part, was very wrong in when it began, not at the beginning, but as it grew more separatist as things went on, because it's left a generation of young men not knowing what their role is in society, being very confused. Women have economic power they never had before. Things were more clear cut for men before, and they've found for themselves no real substitute, no place of equality that they can rest in equally. And a lot of very young men are very confused, very fragile, very lonely. They feel woman is the predator. What's left for me? It's just something I do feel we need to look at for young men.
Moncrief on News Talk,
sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.